Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ohio State winners last night. They win the national championship, their ninth in school history. That amount is up for debate. I just say claim the higher number because we don't know what the hell happened in the 30s. And if we want to get back into that history, you go right on ahead. But I think it's going to be very, very hard to do. So if it's nine, go ahead and claim nine. Have fun. Hope everybody had a good time. All the Buckeyes fans had a good time. Notre Dame fans, it was a good season. You'll be back next year. You'll have a chance. You'll probably make the playoff again. You'll probably have a nice season again. That offensive line is really good. The quarterback situation, he could have thrown better. Certainly could have thrown better. But the quarterback situation for the Buckeyes is quite nice. Quarterback situation for the Browns is a bit of a mess right now. But for the Buckeyes is quite nice. Will Howard was fantastic. Lots of conversation about him. We'll ask Bobby Carpenter about him coming up at 9:20. Former Ohio State linebacker, 97-1, the Fan down in Columbus. He has boots on the ground down in Columbus. I think NIL has changed all this. I asked, you asked Andrew Brand about the NIL. It's before NIL. It's like, hey, man, you can get a free car lease, allegedly, anywhere. You might as well be living. It's not just playing in warm weather. It's living in warm weather. So, like, yeah, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Gainesville, Florida, going to be nicer than Columbus, Ohio in November, December, January, etc. Now it's changed. Now it's just, hey, can you offer more money? Yeah, we're Ohio State. And I think that's changed for the rest of the Big Ten as well. I think it's been a godsend. I think Penn State's going to be a top five team to start off next year in the preseason. Oregon will probably be, give or take, a top five team in the preseason. I think Illinois will be in the top 10 conversation, top 15, next year going into the preseason. And that is a game changer for the Big Ten.
So you don't think this SEC season was an anomaly? You think this could?
It's been 2 years, and they got Texas. I would give Texas a hell of a chance to win. Do they claim Texas? Seemed like they didn't want to when Ohio State played Texas a couple of weeks ago. Now it'll be awful convenient, but they are the interlopers from the West. I guess we could have said Oregon might be that same way, but I think when you have a region that has a lot of people who've made a lot of money with their degrees, who are willing to spend a lot of that money on their football program, yeah, you're going to have a better chance to win.
Was this season, though, for Ohio State, was it more about the NIL, or was it more about having a mulligan, being able to get another shot when normally your season's over when you lose to Michigan
You don't have those players unless you have the NIL. But you also don't have that chance unless you have the mulligan. I think that's an impossible question to answer.
It's tough because obviously, like, Ohio State was fine before NIL, and it seems like they're going to be fine after NIL. They were fine before the transfer portal. They're going to be fine after the transfer portal. The playoff is the new thing here, which is so interesting. Now, yes, you did have Will Howard, who is making seven figures, and he's throwing to Jeremiah Smith. I don't know what he's getting paid.
Hell of a lot of money here over the next couple of years,
If I was Jeremiah Smith, I'd go, I need more. I need more. I got other schools that are offering me more. Let's go.
There's Heisman trophies in his future. Yeah. There's big-time numbers in his future. I don't think that any of the big four donors down there have any problem taking care of him here.
And Caleb Downs comes from Alabama because Nick Saban retired. He probably would have stayed at Alabama. Once Saban left, he's like, all right, highest bidder, let's go. Ohio State was the highest bidder, so they were able to poach him.
From Ole Miss. I mean, these guys, it's real money. It's real tangible money. Again, you can go get a car lease and drive whatever nice car you want to. You can have any BMW in any state. You might as well be nice and comfortable and warm. It's 3 degrees right now in Cleveland. But for an extra $150,000, yeah, I'll come play in Columbus. Extra $200,000, I'll play in Columbus, yeah. Real money, real tangible money. Yeah, they'll go ahead and do that. And I think that so many things changed yesterday for a lot of these players. I was so impressed with, hey, man, it's easy to beat up on some other teams out there. I think the Big Ten's better than it's been, but it's easy to beat up and hit the throttle against some of those other teams out there. To go against Tennessee at home, Oregon, Texas, Notre Dame, all teams trying, all teams giving you the best shot. To be able to beat them, I think says something about your dedication to each other. And I think the dedication to the coach. And more on that coming up in a moment. However, I think Ryan Day has something in common with the rest of us. This is audio from post. Everybody has this. This is post game as he, Will Howard. Who else was? There are a couple other players are getting on
Cody
the
Simon.
Cody yeah. Simon. Thank you. Cody Simon was on the cart. Will Howard was on the cart. Ryan Day was on the cart. Young lady was driving the cart, but she didn't get too very far.
Ryan Day, you deserve it, brother. Thank you. Thank you. It's okay. It's okay.
Back up.
We're close, you guys. Come on. I'm so sorry.
Everybody okay?
Good?
You deserve it, brother.
You deserve it.
It sounds like he broke a bone. It was just the wheel. The wheel is totally snapped. That is that.
It's okay. It's okay.
That golf cart is immobile.
And his players are laughing, and Ryan Day is not.
Will Howard is laughing his ass off.
Will Howard is the first one that gets bleeped, and he says, that was bleeping awesome.
Well, Day took the worst of it because he's sitting in the front.
He was front passenger side.
So Ryan Day, it hit his side. I'm going, man, that's and a wheel around the room. I mean, Owen told stories I can't even repeat on the air, I think.
Yeah, we can't tell those.
About
those are international incidents.
Golf carts in countries in the Pacific Rim and when he was in the Air Force. Lima, you worked at a golf course.
I started out as a cart boy. I started out washing the carts.
I imagine Ryan Day had a day where he assed off when he was 16 years old on a golf course.
Not
probably
real man
when he was 17.
You're not real man until you wrecked a cart.
But yeah, I mean, if this is his first, he finally has something in common with all of us because, yeah, you ain't a man until you wreck a cart. That is a rite of passage for any American boy on a golf course.
Now, for those that weren't with us earlier and cannot see the video right now, we will say, just for record keeping purposes, it is a female driving the cart.
Well, that's a...
Because, you know, the comment section, they were very, very hard on this poor lady who apparently didn't understand how to get that thing turned around in time.
I shared it, and it is nothing but women driving comments.
Yes.
It is nothing but women driving
comments. I saw some DEIs in there as well.
Well, that's...
Which is now just every tweet.
That's
anytime anything gets screwed up.
I don't know the woman's name or her background or anything.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
Reckless speculation.
She goes to put it in reverse, and then she's like, she's trying to hit the gas and look slick getting out of there. I think it's electric, but you get what I'm saying. She's trying to hit the gas and look slick getting out of there, and it just goes into the wall. It takes a right and goes into the wall, and she didn't give enough clearance. And then the wheel is pinned up against the wall. The golf cart is trashed. Like, they'll probably be able to fix it, but it ain't going to be fixed that day. And then they had to walk down where it's like, well, we're walking. We're hitting the rest of the way on our feet. Let's go. We're hoofing it. And it's like, yeah, we've all had that moment in a golf course. Lima, you had that moment.
What's,
I had that moment at Green Valley, which is now closed down.
Yeah, what's the payload on one of these suckers? You could seat 8 comfortably on this. I mean, football players.
That was an 8-seater.
You got football players on this thing.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one.
But you just wondered, it's Ryan Day's demeanor. It's just so interesting because ever since the Notre Dame game when he lost his mind last year, when he went absolutely nuts and went after Lou Holtz, you've seen a different Ryan Day since then. You've seen a guy that walked around. I remember it was Pat Forty. He's like, he looks like he's not having fun. Looks like the pressure is getting to him. He loses to Michigan. And I'm sorry, you lost to Michigan in a year that you were, you know, what were they, 20-point favorites in that game?
Yeah.
When Michigan was sitting some of their best players, you lose that game. And yes, he was on the hot seat then. Everybody. I see people saying today, still on the hot seat? No, because he won the national championship.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Typically how it works, you earn these things. You earn the ability not to be on the hot seat. And congrats to him for being able to do it. You're wondering what the demeanor would be last night. I wondered, quite frankly, if there were going to be shenanigans at midfield, if somebody was going to roll up a Michigan flag and plant it, or I didn't know what was going to go on because of how humiliated Ohio State was after they lost that game back in November. And what a wild, wild run. All these guys, think of the monkeys off Ryan Day's back. Do you think it changes how he coaches going forward?
No.
Because
I
think
don't.
The pressure is off.
I think the pressure's off. I think you get a better... This is so hard to say about a guy who has his win percentage is basically video games. But I think you get a better style of play somehow. This, it just sounds ridiculous to say it because they've done so much winning. Like, you, it's amazing what type of perspective it has on things. Like, you don't beat Michigan, it's like, well, I don't care what your win percentage is, you can't beat Michigan. Well, now you win these games, and then you win the national championship. And how can I say to the general fan, like, well, you're going to have a better play caller, you have a more composed play caller. Like, I don't think he's going to be trying to prove a point in football games anymore, because he doesn't have to, because his way has worked. He'll change with the times, but his way has worked. You know, Chip Kelly doing the job. I don't know if Chip Kelly's going to be his play caller forever. That's what I kind of mean by that. Like,
what a masterful first three drives.
Well, because if this continues, like, he's going to have other opportunities where once this NIL stuff settles down, maybe he gets another chance to be at a place that's better than UCLA. You know, do you become an assistant to go upwards from a place like UCLA? I think Chip Pederson maybe does get that chance. But for Ryan Day, I think you get a more balanced, controlled game plan, unlike what we've had in the past against Michigan, where it seems like you're trying to prove a point or you're in your own head. Because how could you not operate from a position of confidence now where you've won four of the biggest games any of us have ever seen, and your fan base, they can't say anything to you. Like, what a moment it had to be. People were getting emotional. Kurt Herbstreit got emotional for it. How could you not?
It's the biggest turnaround. I'm trying to think what the comparison would be in any sport from a guy being dumped on like he was and then having his team go out. They dominated Tennessee. They rolled Oregon. The Texas game, man, we had some very anxious moments in that game. You know, where you thought that could go either way. And in this game, they were in complete control until, you know, I know you said you didn't, you never batted an
eye. I really did not. Even on the opening drive.
If Howard doesn't convert that third down to Jeremiah Smith for 50-some yards.
I understand that, but damn it, I look back on it. Like, at that opening drive, they gave up that huge, long drive.
18 plays.
And I'm going, they're not going to be able to hold on for an 18-play drive and run Riley Leonard on fourth down all the time.
He was on fumes in the first quarter. I've never seen that before from a quarterback. Did he have eight carries in that first drive?
He came over to the sideline and immediately threw up. I've only been in that situation one time, and that was before the 2016 Game 7, which I have a witness. Nick Wilson's a witness to it. That's the only time I've ever thrown up from anything as far as nerves or exertion. His was exertion. His was throwing up because, he was gassed already
the
first drive.
He was getting clubbed. He fell on the football.
But I didn't think that he was doing. I was so impressed by the way Will Howard played, and I got to tell you, I'm impressed that Ryan Day, for as many people who said he's got these players' hearts, all right, well, why don't you show it against Michigan? Well, you don't need to have that conversation anymore. Like, he got those guys. They could have easily rolled over. They could have easily, not left because you're in a playoff, but you could have easily rolled over and called it a year and been out there against Tennessee and said, I got mine, that's it. They didn't do that. Like, you can't be anything. And I don't, you know, people I'm sure said a lot of bad things about Ryan Day, and I've been one of the people egging him on.
I said the worst things you could possibly say about Ryan Day.
There's no way you can look back on this with any sort of bitterness about Ryan Day at all. Like, yeah, it's fine. He got one over on you on the things that you said. Good, he should.
What if he never
beats a national championship run?
I know it's patently ridiculous, but what if he loses to Michigan in the next 2 years? I mean, And gets a chance to play for another national championship.
Well, I think November of 2025, I think people will feel a little bit different, and the same thing with 26. But if you win national championships after, you can't say anything to the guy.
Does it feel like the NFL now where, Cincinnati,
yes.
Like, so we had a call earlier. Cincinnati lost to us twice, and they went to the Super Bowl.
But if you lose that game, if you lose in the playoffs, then I think it throws that much more of a spotlight on things. Ohio State won. Lima somewhat subdued. I'm surprised he's not screaming and yelling. I thought you'd be screaming and yelling. Guy was probably doing some hooting and hollering yesterday.
Yeah, I was up a little late. I probably could have. It's tough to recapture that when you're young. Like I told you, 2002, when I watched those guys win the championship and I was on the campus at Ohio State. Like, I don't think anything will ever be that for me again. But it was still pretty fun.
Well, I don't know if this fellow who joins us right now has even gone to sleep yet. Bobby Carpenter, former Buckeye linebacker, 97.1 The Fan down in Columbus, joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bobby, good morning to you.
Oh, great morning. Great to catch up with you guys.
So vindication for Ryan Day. Does the entire fan base quiet down now?
Maybe. I don't know if the entire is a word I would use. I try not to speak in absolutes. with that, because I think there is still a there's a portion of the fans that are not happy with the losses to Michigan, and nothing you say or do is going to ever quell them and their desire for that. And I understand that's a big piece of it, and that matters. It's a huge deal. But at the same point in time, like, Ryan Day's a hell of a football coach, and I'm hoping that he will ultimately be revealed. He was ultimately revealed as such. And I hope that national championship answers some of those questions.
Bobby, I gave up on him and the Buckeyes after the Michigan game. I couldn't believe they lost that game. I was in my emotions, and obviously I was naive to how this whole playoff thing is going to work going forward. Can you believe that he was able to really rally the troops in the way that we have heard behind the scenes after such a heartbreaking and devastating loss?
Well, it's all right. I mean, I understand. We have a hard time with emotional regulation in society now. Everyone wants to act like my eighth grade daughter. And even if you're a grown man, it's completely understandable. So we're going to work on that. We'll get you, we'll improve upon those things. But when you have a great relationship with your players, when your team has great connectivity, and when they care about each other a lot and they play really hard for each other, then you have the ability to turn that thing around if you have the ability to, the talent and the ability to have that type of success. And that's what we ultimately saw. And you know, maybe Michigan was a jumping off point for that. Maybe that helped it. But, it was pretty darn impressive with what they were able to put together.
I was impressed with Ryan Day in the post game. He made it about the players. Which I guess I shouldn't be impressed with. It goes right with what you say, Bobby. Like, so many people saying so many bad things. Him, the whole thing about the family, everything there. And then in that moment, like, hey, Jeremiah Smith, Will Howard, you know, Cody Simon, those guys. Like, he made it about the players. I think that that's the difference that we don't see that the players have seen throughout these last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, they see that every day. Ryan reveals that side to them every day, and that's why they care about him. That's why they go to bat for him. That's why they have been ardent defenders of him. And I think, honestly, a lot of the reason why they played the way they did was due to the fact that their coach was under fire. And I think that was a galvanizing point and a great thing that ultimately happened to them, to be able to put them in a position to be able to do that. Like, not all things success comes the easy way. And so it obviously was the hard way for them. And but that loss to Michigan, probably a little fire, and the criticism was coming at their coach, you know, was the accelerant that helped get this team rolling.
What do you think, Bobby? You've obviously been around this team a little bit. What do you think of just the takeaway will be from these guys and how they were able to regroup? You know, there's been so much talk, even on the national broadcast last night. These guys, they're talking religion as much as they did. That bothered some fans when they lost to Michigan. And then when they win the title, it's like, oh, okay. Maybe that didn't matter so much. What was your takeaway about these guys?
They're great human beings. I mean, I tell them all the time when I get a chance to see them. I tell them, thank you for being the type of people you are, because it makes me proud to be a Buckeye. It's your great role models for my children. And so that makes me feel good. I'm happy about that. And people want to find ways to poke holes in everything about people. And, you know, if you're a man of faith and you're not tough, or they're not focused on Ohio State enough, or whatever the hell that, you know, excuses people want to put out there, like, there's always going to be issues that you're going to have. And when you lose, people over-examine everything. But, I mean, you can't focus on the wrong things, and the team didn't. Maybe externally people did. And that's why they were able to turn that thing around and get it pushed in the right direction.
Bobby, the defense did it again with, this time it wasn't a goal line stand, but it was a goal-to-go stand, and it was huge. Notre Dame came away with no points when they were down there and seemed to be cruising, getting their offense in gear. How is their defense able to do this time and time again this season?
You know, it's been an ethos that they've had. You know, give us an inch and we'll defend it. And I've never seen anybody kind of really embrace it to the degree that they have. And, you know, they've had it, like you said. You look at Penn State, you look at Nebraska. I mean, look at what they did against Michigan. You know, some of the stuff throughout the season, they've been really stinking good on the goal line. Better than any other team I've ever seen. So it's been very impressive. These guys play their butt off. They play incredibly hard. And, you know, it's as much an attitude as it is X's and O's at that point when you get down on the goal line.
Bobby Carpenter with us on the hotline. Now, I don't know how much trash talking you did when you played, but I did have an observation just from watching from afar yesterday that That seemed to be like the classiest national championship game I can remember. Both teams, I don't know if it was because if it had anything to do with Marcus Freeman, his Ohio State connections. Of course, we saw Jim Tressel, you know, there on the field before the game. Do you think that that kind of stuff matters in a title game? Do you think Notre Dame needed to be a little less classy, a little meaner, or do you think that stuff just doesn't have a factor at all in these games?
I don't think that matters. I mean, you can have an attitude and have an edge and not be an asshole. Like, those things, they're not mutually exclusive. And you can be tough, and you can care about people. And, you know, when the game starts, you put those feelings aside and you go play a football game. But, so, yeah, it's a big game. It's a big deal. There's a huge, huge stakes on the line, obviously. And there's that connection between Marcus and Ohio State and Jim Tressel. And Marcus, like, this is former coach. Like, you know, I think Jim would have wanted Marcus to win every game outside of that. And him, you know, talking, you know, the connection, I don't think that plays into it at all.
Bobby Carpenter joining us on the show. Two in a row for the Big Ten. What's to say about the conference now?
I think the conference is a great spot. I was talking to Tony Petitti, the commissioner, last night. It's the first time since 1965 and 66 that two Big Ten teams, the Big Ten's won it back-to-back. And it's the first time since 1661 that it's been two different teams that have won it back-to-back. And so it's in a great spot. The four teams that made it in did a heck of a job. One of the losses that they had was an intra-conference loss between Ohio State and Oregon. And so you look at how the Big Ten's positioned, what they're doing with NIL, and where they're at moving forward. I think they're in a great, great position to succeed.
Bobby, we know you're pressed for time. Thank you very much. Follow him on Twitter, at BCarp3. Bobby, thank you again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Bobby Carpenter, 97.1, the Fan in Columbus, former Buckeye linebacker, the Bobby Carpenter Show, the whole deal. One of our favorites, North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Yes.
Yeah, the reason I asked that question about, like, so much class, right? It's weird to see in a football game, like, we're taught, and we're fans, so we go on message boards, and we cuss out other teams' fans, but we're not playing. There's nothing at risk for us. The players on the field, you know, like an Ohio State-Michigan game, there is chippiness to those games, and there has been for quite some time. And you saw that chippiness. It ended up, you know, spilling out onto the field after the game. Like, it was an ugly scene at the end of that game. There was none of that for Ohio State and Notre Dame. Do you think Notre Dame needed to summon some of that stuff up?
Marcus Freeman is just so young. And I think that was probably the biggest difference. It's like, man, he's 38? Mm-hmm. 39? No, I think he just turned 39. So he's still so young, and he played in an era of modern Buckeye football and was known as a good player. So I think that Ryan Day, and I'll tell you this, Ryan Day has done a much better job of preserving history than Urban Meyer ever did. It was almost like the history goes away with Urban. It was Urban's team, that's it. Ryan Day has done a much better job of inviting the old guys back. Como, former players, inviting the old players
that's
back.
That's true. Yeah, that part of it is true. Now, Urban would invoke Earl Bruce a lot.
During his era, and guys that he thought were important. But, like, the Jim Tressel era, like, hey, you and I know a guy who was like, hey, like, it's different all of a sudden now. Like, yes, they don't allow 100%. This. And I think Ryan Day's been much more open to, like, hey, the Tressel guys, like, you are the, because I think that was by design, because Tressel had such a strong influence on players. Like, Urban Meyer just wanted to, it's his influence now. None of these other guys around. We're going to do things differently. And
almost say he was bigger than the program.
To some level, I guess you could try to say it backfired, but I don't think it did. I mean, you win a national championship. Guys do it their own different ways. But I think Ryan Day has been much more open to the entire history, the Tressel years, all the years. And I think he invites those guys back. So I think it's made it an easier buy-in for everybody there with him. And because of that, with Marcus Freeman, there's a buy-in there with that former player. And again, James Laurinaitis was an assistant for Marcus Freeman before. So these guys all know each other.
But the reason I ask the question,
they don't want to be on bad terms.
Did it not seem like Michigan got under the skin of Ohio State?
Yes.
Did Notre Dame need to do that?
No. I don't think. I mean, Notre Dame, you were much more worried about Notre Dame than I was. That's true.
I was worried about a close game. What a close game would look like.
Notre Dame getting under Ohio State's skin, that wasn't going to help Notre Dame. Like, Lou Holtz can say whatever he wants to, because he's an elderly man sitting in a suite. So that's not going to matter. Lou Holtz can say whatever he wants. the guys on the field, you need to focus on your job to beat Ohio State. And then the first drive, they did. They got the very most of what they could get out of it, and then Ohio State basically took over. I know it got closer, and Riley Leonard made some great plays, and some guys from Notre Dame made some great plays. I'm not trying to take anything away from those guys. They had to focus on their jobs to get everything done. They couldn't worry about Ohio State. Let me tell you this. What I am very impressed by with Notre Dame, if they went down, they went down their way. They play man defense, and what was it, 14 of 15 in the first half for Will Howard? And some big third down plays. Do you get that when you're not playing man? I think they tried to send some guys after him, put some heat on him. It didn't work because he was able to find guys open because he has that rhythm with his wide receivers. But they went down doing something they know how to do. If you don't know zone, you don't know zone, and you don't want to confuse your guys. You're playing great athletes. You don't want to confuse them as well. And so Notre Dame did a heck of a job in playing that defense because I thought it would be a boat racing up and down. They helped lock it down as much as they could in the second half. But at one point, you know, you're looking at 31-7. There's only so much you can do against athletes that good when you're playing zone against them, but that's what you know.
That was, by the way, that was the small little how you can have a criticism when you win the national championship after a day like that. I did say if Urban was the coach, I think Ohio State would have just flat
probably
out murdered Notre Dame yesterday.
Probably would have. But I want to get to this out of here. Speaking of one of those great athletes, Jeremiah Smith, he had 88 yards receiving. He had a touchdown as well in this football game. And I told you guys I was going to play this. Well, yesterday my phone blew up. Lima's phone blew up. My mentions were blowing up after every completed pass. People have been calling in, and now the push is happening. Here's Jeremiah Smith in the postgame on Will Howard.
Just sort of the type of quarterback he is. In my eyes, he's a first-round draft pick. I mean, Will just a great leader on and off the field as well. He just had a great week of preparation, you know, just leading us to this victory tonight, I should say.
So he loves this guy. He's not a first-round draft pick, but people are considering him, and you want to say whether or not he's a draft pick by the Cleveland Browns. He's 6'4", he's 235, he's in a bad draft class. He is not a statuesque quarterback. He can get out there and scoot a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what his top-end speed is. I have no idea. But he can get out there and move. I think he's a day-two guy. I think he answers the questions right. I think that when you have a draft class that's not that great, guys tend to push up more than they would because of the way that they played in the postseason, the way they played with a lot of pressure. Will Howard, in these postseason games, responded to the pressure. I mean, is that not the great criticism we have of so many quarterbacks in the NFL? Are you going to respond? Lamar, are you going to respond to the pressure? Again, when you're playing Mahomes, you're playing Mahomes. There's not much you can do for a lot of these guys. But are you going to respond to the pressure? Jaden Daniels, already part of the legacy, responding to the pressure 2 weeks in a row. Winning on the road again. Hostile environments, especially the hostile environment in Detroit. Being able to win on the road. Ben Johnson getting in his own way in that football game for the Lions. Yeah, I think a guy like Will Howard, I don't see him in the first round. I hate to disagree with Jeremiah Smith, but yeah, you could see him being a possibility. If the Browns don't draft anybody on opening night of draft night, yeah, I think that he'd be a conversation later on.
They started 50 games, so there's been a lot of football there.
Yep.
And he has just been incredible in this playoff run. So his stock has absolutely gone up. I mean, before the playoff, after that Michigan game, they were saying third day. You know, he was going to be a third day player. Well, that's changed. He has absolutely changed that. Plus, he's done it with everybody watching, and you keep repeating this because it's important. Poor quarterback class. So it's like, how is the quarterback at Ohio State not a guaranteed first-round pick when he wins a national championship? So they'll say it's his arm. They'll say his arm is just not remotely good enough.
But when you have if he were in the Baker draft class, you keep your foot on it like, yeah, you're down there.
I have kept track of potential quarterbacks. I have a quarterback spreadsheet going on.
Yes.
Right now, just for, you know, Jackson, Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, I just have their stats. For Will Howard, since he was brought up last week on the show, I have January 14th, Anthony Lima, and I quote, his arm stinks. Have you changed your opinion of that at all?
Yeah, I know. It's like when you're making the throws. And by the way, in the NFL.
I mean, that pass to Jeremiah.
It was great. So in the NFL, what did we see this week in the NFL? Third and one, fourth and one, third and two, fourth and two. What do you need? A quarterback that can just go get the first down.
Yes.
Who's stopping Will Howard in those short yardage situations. I don't want to get crazy because, yeah.
Jalen Hurts took off for 40 yards and a touchdown. Yeah.
I mean, you need guys that could just go and convert that. And he seems like he's like an automatic on those situations.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to chew the fat on him, but you know, you'll get to this
level.
Seems
like a great leader, too.
And that is one of the things that are going to make these football guys. There's a lot of guys on this Ohio State team that improved their draft stock over this last month. And it's you got football guys who are going to get football guys excited, where it might not be go up on stage and shake Roger Goodell's hand, but some of these guys made themselves some real money over this last month.
Mitch,
and I think
please.
Will Howard is included.
All right, guys, yesterday during the presidential inauguration, televised coverage on C-SPAN featured a call from a disappointed man who wanted to voice his thoughts, but not necessarily all about Trump's return to the White House.
Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. I'm a bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay. Graham there. We've got pictures of more of the president's hopeful cabinet.
Should have let him keep going.
Hell yeah. What's the urgency there?
What was he going to say?
Let him get his thoughts out. Come on.
You let him get all that political stuff out there. You wouldn't let him get... I understand it's C-SPAN. But you wouldn't let him get any of the other good stuff out there? Come on. A guy who's upset with how it went with the college football playoff, that's just good, solid trolling
That's
good stuff.
Isn't it awesome that in 2025, C-SPAN is still doing the exact same thing that they've been doing? They're like, we're just going to open up the phone lines. Let's have some civil discourse on, you know, one of the most polarizing people in the history of politics.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I love that a guy called in and had all that to say about the Big Ten or about the SEC. I think that NIL has been a bit of a game changer for the Big Ten. Also inviting Oregon and USC and the other ones. But of course, I think Oregon was the only one that was really ready for it. I think the other ones are kind of catching their breath right now and figuring out exactly how much it takes to compete with the Big Ten. The Big Ten is for Ohio State fans, you should be proud of your conference. You should be proud of the way the game is played. I know it's always been seen as before where it's the 13-10, which is... an odd score to say. Didn't mean it like that. The 13-10 conference, the conference of Kirk Ferentz and 18,000 punts in a season. I think it's a heavy-handed, fight-it-out conference. And I think that a lot of the teams that have come over here have had a big wake-up call. Oregon was ready for it. They're well-coached. They did well with NIL. They've done well with NIL. But some of these other programs, like they've learned the hard way.
And look, I think it's important to note, like every time I talk about whether or not there's a sea change here, you know, the SEC fans will say, like, all right, Texas on 24/7 Sports, Texas has the number one recruiting class, Georgia number two, Alabama number four, Auburn six, A&M seven,
yeah,
LSU 8-10, Florida 11, Tennessee. They're still going to get amazing high school talent in the South because of proximity, but that depth thing, that is no lie. That is the days of stockpiling guys up and down and ditching them and starting them on special teams to start out their career, that is over.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to wait. You're just going to take the offer up north. You're just going to leave. And that is going to be the interesting thing, plus quarterback play. Where are the quarterbacks going to go? Well, the quarterbacks are going to go where they're going to get paid the most.
Yes.
And that is where it's going to be so important that all these teams, not just up north, everywhere, that's where you got to spend your money wisely, right?
But I'm concerned about the lack of, because you can already see it. And again, you're going to go to where they pay you the most. You can make money. I don't blame you for trying to make money. But I also think of the lack of development that could go on with quarterbacks, where it's just going to make this all more harder to do. I mean, you go to Cam Ward. Cam Ward was a day three prospect until this last year. Now he's number one. Shador Sanders, kind of seen as a day two prospect. Now he's probably number two, depending on who ends up drafting him, right? We've had that conversation, and we will again. Like, you see more of this changeover. And I worry about the development of guys because, like, Arch Manning is probably going to be one-on-one. He comes from a well-to-do family of quarterbacks. He is wanting for nothing. There is no need for him to go out there and grab the extra $100,000 from some other program. But for a lot of other guys, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And are you going for the money, and are you going to get the right amount of coaching? Are you going to get the right people to coach you up and actually help you prepare for the next level? So I think that it's going to be a moving target more than it's ever as it's ever been. And if we're talking about some of these guys the way we have in the past, we're just going to be left in the past. Like Jalen Milroe, he's got to be a conversation now because of Tommy Rees. And if they wanted to take him later in the first round, all right. How far later? Well, you know, if you're just trading back with the Raiders, if he's not a number two pick, he's not a number six pick. If you're trading back into the first round, maybe he's that guy. I don't think he's the first quarterback you should take. Certainly not. But it's interesting when Andrew Brandt is asked the question, and Andrew Brandt says this about the cap opportunities with the Cleveland Browns.
I agree with there's cap room to add a significant quarterback. I think it's close to or over a nine-figure number in dead money if they moved on from Watson. But the way they've managed the cap, and I'm a big fan and friend of Andrew Berry, they have pushed out a lot of money under the theory that cap now is better than cap later. They continue to sort of lead the league in cap room while continuing to push out money on Watson the past couple of years. So they have flexibility, and that's four scenarios, I guess, like this. So I do believe they are not limited to build a team around the quarterback or add a new significant quarterback. But I don't believe they would take a hit on Watson this year.
I don't think Andrew Brandt's laying any hints. I don't think he's that type of guy. Some of the guys are. He's not. He's telling you what he believes. But it does kind of lead me to believe, all right, yeah, you're going to take an older vet who you can afford, pay him a little bit more. If you wanted to go the Sam Darnold route, I guess you could. You could try to do that. And then you're going to take a guy later. So, yeah, Jalen Milroe is a serious conversation for the Browns if they want to move back up into the first round. Trading down, moving back up, getting guys, that's a serious conversation. Will Howard, Jackson Dart, these are serious guys that we need to watch.
Can I ask a dumb question?
What?
Well, first of all, is it Tommy Rees or Reeves?
I don't know. When I'm in a hurry, I say Rees.
I've been hearing Rees.
Anyway, how do we know he even likes Jalen Milroe? We just know he coached him. Guys coach people all the time they don't like.
Yeah.
Or don't think are that good. Maybe they're like, man, too many challenges.
Yeah, we know a guy who thought Brock Purdy wasn't that good. He's no longer there. Yep. So don't even draw those conclusions.
True.